Sure, good to see you here. It's always good to be with brothers and sisters. I hope you all had a good week. It was a little warm in my opinion, but that's, you know. Week before last, we were, he told me to take my coat off. I may have to. think about what we saw when we was up in Lake Michigan. And I thought we got rain here. We got up to Lake Michigan at Travis City. And we went out to eat at a place called The Cabin, which was referred to us. Excellent food. We no sooner got in that restaurant than the rain came down like sideways for over 45 minutes. No one left the restaurant. Those who were done just sat there and kept drinking stuff. That's the hardest rain I've ever seen where it lasted so long going sideways. And then it rained normal for about another hour. But boy, it was a lot of water. Anyhow, it was good to get back. Also had the smoke up there from Canada. Man, it was so bad. It looked like a big fog one day, just like you couldn't hardly see probably maybe 150, 200 yards. It was just hard to believe how bad it was. Smelled horrible. So it was good to get back. And then I heard you had some smoke, too, while we were gone. So it was, you know what it was like. It was just terrible up there. But anyhow, 2 days it cleaned out, and we had a real good time with our family. So all things work for the good right at the end. So today I want to read something I had read last year, I think twice, once here and then once at the feast when I was giving a sermonette. And the reason I want to read this is because it really comes in good today when you think about Chester died, Mr. Egan died, and so did Glenn Ornbreck. People are mourning. People are hurting. We have people out here, our brothers and sisters, who are hurting and staying home. So I'd like to remind them, and I think sometimes we need to be reminded, of how much God cares for you and me. And I've always used the footprints in the sand because it makes you think God is always there. It's just we have to get with Him. So I'm going to read that. I hope it's encouraging to you. And I hope it's encouraging to everyone out there because God loves each of us. He has called each of us. And we have a place in His wonderful holy city if we fulfill the race. One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints from my life flashed across the sky. To each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there was two sets of footprints. Other times, there was only one. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish and sorrow or defeat, I could see only one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed You, You would walk with me always. But I noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there has only been one set of footprints in that sand. Why, when I need You the most, have You not been there for me?" See how we think negatively? We think negative. We've got to remember, God is always with us. The Lord replied, "The times when you have seen only one set of footprints, my child, is when I carried you." And that's what God does with each of us. When we have low periods, sometimes we feel bad. We're the ones who are shrinking. God is always there. He's there carrying us, helping us get through whatever trial we must face or are facing. So it's one of those things where I hope it encourages each of us, because it does me, because I used to have it on a wall one time and I used to look at it. And that was always encouraging because, you know, we all have low points. But God has called you and me to be in His kingdom. And he never wants you to feel that he's never there. Now, I like the shorter version I got also. And I don't know who did this one either. It's called Footprints. Is this too loud? I feel like I'm booming. Oh. In Footprints, the Lord replied, is the top of it. It says, my precious child, my precious child. Each and every one of us are precious to God the Father. Just as our physical children are so precious to us, God loves us even more because he gave his only son for us. He did it so you and I could be forgiven and so we can be with him and in his kingdom. He says, I love you and I would never leave you. Never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Our God and Christ is always there with us. Even when we have trials, when we have problems, we need to always remember this, to have a positive outlook. You're never alone. None of us are ever alone. God is there at all times. And when you're out and not able to attend church and stuff, I'm sure that it gets downhearted. The most I've ever missed church was about 4 or 5 weeks when I had a heart bypass. And you know, the letters and cards that we sign for these people, our brothers and sisters, they live for those. We should never forget our brothers and sisters. They need our encouragement. We are part of the encouragement that God wants to be sent to them so that they'll know they're loved and cared for. And we do love you and care for you. Sometimes we shirk our duties. But I wanted to start with that today, because we need to understand how much our God loves us. And we need to always realize that he's always there. And you realize it's only 70 days from the Feast of Trumpets. 70 days, 10 weeks. You'll be keeping the Feast of Trumpets. We'll be there together with brothers and sisters like mind. And we'll be looking forward to what? Being with Jesus Christ when he returns. That's what God has offered you and me. Everyone that loves God, everyone that obeys God, will be there. Whether they're raised up from the ground first, or where you're changed immediately. All of God's children who have obeyed, that Christ died for. Jesus Christ died for you and me and for the whole world. And that's where we understand true love. God loves everybody. Each one of us are his child. He has blessed you and me to have the opportunity, though, to be kings and priests in his kingdom. How blessed can we be? Can we take the strength that he gives us to finish the race? Are we hanging in there? Are we going to encourage each other? Are we going to strengthen each other? Christ died for you and me and all the world. So you and I must do one thing. And the one thing is one thing Jesus Christ told us. Well, there's a lot of things we have to do, but this is one of the main things. Matthew 6:33, it used a lot because it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which means we are obeying his laws. We are being examples and lights to the world. And he is the great light. He is the same light who light up the New Jerusalem. And that's 1,500 miles square. That's over half of the United States. One city. Over half the United States. Can't get it directly because it's farther one way in certain areas of it, but it's over halfway. Probably 2/3 of the United States will be God's holy city. The city that you and I are going to have an opportunity to be at and be a part of God's family for eternity. Do we truly treasure that and keep that in our foresight? That's why I give the prince in the sand, because we need to understand He is always there. He is always wanting you and I to do what He wants us to do. He wants us to walk and be there so that when Christ returns, He said, I knew you could do it. You finished the race. It's so good to see you. What joy will we have? What joy will we have when we see Jesus Christ? Because you know, even though we change to a spirit, we are going to be so excited. So excited and say, yeah, yeah, there's such, such. Oh, where's, oh, you know? Because some may not be there that we've loved and cared for. Because some will fail. And you know who's out there to destroy us, right? Satan the devil. He hates you and I with a passion that cannot probably be matched. Because he knows that he has ruined his time and he will never have the opportunity to be happy. Even with the misery he's causing now, the only time he's happy is when someone's miserable. Because they're going to be like him. But he has to suffer for eternity. You know, when we think about the world we live in, and we think about all the trials you and I have, and we do have trials. Satan makes sure we have trials. Sometimes we make our own. Sorry to say, I made more than my share. But, you know, we always have, where we look at Christ dying for us, and all we have to do is say, I am sorry, I want to repent. Please forgive me. Father, Christ, please intervene for me. Help me never to do it again. Strengthen me that I can be with you for eternity. And God will forgive us. Just like you as parents forgive your children and have to forgive your children. We have to learn to forgive to be happy. When we can forgive someone and not keep that bottled up in us, we can be a lot happier. Because love is joy, right? If you love someone and you're with someone who you love, you have a great grin on your face and you are happy. Once a week, he brings us back together to be together. Because all of us have problems in this world. But we're here so we can encourage one another, so we can be inspired by the Holy Word and realizing we are obeying God. This is His day, and we're here to be as His family. In 1 John 2:15, if you'll turn there with me, please. John tells us something here in verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of God is not in him. If money is more important than God, then you love the world. If prestige is better than God and you leave God, you love the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And whose world is it at this time? Right now, Satan's. And the world is passing away and the lust in it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And that's what he has called you and I to be a part, to be there when Jesus Christ returns. We have a choice to make every day, probably many choices, because the world is around us, the swirls around us, and there again, back in Matthew 6. If you'll turn here with me. 6:24. I know you probably know this by heart, but it's always a good reminder. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise. Did you get that? Despise, not just, you know, but despise. You cannot serve God and mammon. We have another verse there that's pretty good. Going up to verse 7:13. You and I are called to enter the narrow gate. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law of the prophets. In other words, to love all men. We don't have to love what they do. If it's a sin, no, you don't have to love them. But you love the person. Because one of these days, that person may be a part of God's kingdom. And God loves them. And if He loves them, we better love them. Because we are to be building God's character in us. So we have to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. You and I have been called to that royal priesthood I talked about. I've heard many people, myself when I first came to church, also said this, sorry to say, I don't really want to be that. I just want to be a, you know, when they come to church, oh, I just want to be, you know, I just want to make it. Because a lot of times when we come to church and start church, it's all for a selfish reason. You think all about me, oh, I. But it's not. God has called you for you, and everybody we know. Because we're to be kings and priests to help them to understand what God has allowed you and I to understand today. What a blessing it is to know that God loves you and I so much. And we need to be training. And we are in training. Mr. Carroll's telling me to break my leg every time I walk up here. That means good luck. You better hope it's good luck for you because you have to listen to me. So, but anyhow, the point is, we need God's word in our lives. We need to make sure that we're walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. We have this world to overcome, and we cannot do it on our own. You and I have to understand God's law. And we have to seek God's kingdom first and obtain His righteousness, which is following His laws, that you and I may be priests, kings and priests, in His wonderful kingdom. You and I are to be the lights of the world that talks about in Matthew 5. But you realize the light that shines God's holy new Jerusalem is God alone. 1,500 square miles. Beautiful light. As a human being, we probably could never stand it. It would be so bright. But we have an opportunity to be there. And Jesus Christ told us that He was going there, what? To prepare a place for you and me. And everyone. Are we going to finish the race? Are we going to totally depend on God? Are we totally going to study and say, yes, I need to change? Are we going to take maybe that beam we have in our eye and get rid of it? Are we really going to learn how to love? Are we really going to learn how to forgive others? Are we really going to build the character of God the Father? That's exactly what we're here for. We're here being trained to be those kings and priests. God has blessed you and I with this great opportunity and everyone He's opened the door to. Count your blessings. There, Mr. Marker said, count your blessings ton by ton and then one by one. I would like at this time for you to think, and I did quite a bit of thinking on this past week. I want you to go back. Some of you have to go back many years, and think, what did God do to open your mind? What did God do to get you to where you finally got to where He could open your mind? Have you really thought a lot about that? You need to figure about our history sometime. You got to look back and see what I've done. What did He do for you? I'm going to tell you a little bit about me. Hope it's not the vanity part. I'm just trying to give you an idea. I understand how much God protected me from the day I was born. My mom and dad divorced when I was about 2 years old or so. My mother was an alcoholic. Back in the 40s, that was quite a thing for a man to get the child. My mother did not get me. But guess what? I got to live with a lot of different families. First family was my aunt and uncle who took me in for about 3 or 4 years, and then they had to go to Toledo because there was no jobs. Ohio, because there was no jobs back in the early 50s. So then I was left going to my neighbor that they lived with for about a year. Well, they couldn't do it anymore, so then I had to go somewhere else. So I moved around about 4 or 5 different times in about 3 or 4 years. Now I want to tell you what. They were not doing it because they loved me. They were doing it for moolah. My dad was paying them to take care of me. Okay? Thankfully, my aunt and uncle came back, and I stayed with them for the next 10 years. And they raised me as their own child. In fact, they even tried to have my dad let them adopt me, and he wouldn't do that. But they gave me the training I needed. If they hadn't have come back, my life would have been entirely different. When they came back, my uncle had heart trouble real bad, and he started reading the Bible a lot. And we've been going to Church of Christ. And because of what he was reading, he realized Saturday was the Sabbath. So they started attending the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So I did too, of course. So I knew about the Sabbath. Took the Bible course when I was about 10 years old or so, maybe. When I was about 14 years old, probably 13. I wanted to play sports. And guess what? They didn't stop me. They let me go back to sports. So they quit going to Seventh-day Adventist Church. So I went back to Church of Christ. Now, God prepared me for what I found out when I got to Dayton, Ohio. I had no idea that I ever wanted to leave Southern Ohio. I was happy being in this little coal mine town, and that's where I figured I'd live and be there the rest of my life. Well, I got a job working for Fish Management, made about $70 a week, got $300 a month is what I got. They paid twice a year, a state job. A friend of mine had moved to Dayton, Ohio. And he told me one day, he said, "You've got to come to Dayton." Dave said, "You can make $3.25 an hour." I said, "Excuse me?" That was almost double what I made. Now, I want to tell you what, my ears perked up. I said, "Tell me this again." He said, "Dave, there's all kinds of jobs up here." So I put in my notice. I'm going to make some money. I'm just going to get rich. But anyhow, I came up and moved to Dayton, Ohio. And would you not know, well, I saved my friends for a few weeks. I got a good job. And I was living in Vandalia, Ohio. And I'd rent a room off of a doctor and his family. And would you know what? These people were coming into this crazy church. And one day I was walking up because I had to go upstairs. I had a bathroom and a room. And he said, "You need to go to Ambassador College." I said, "I don't know what Ambassador College is. What are you talking about? Never heard such a thing." So he got me a booklet. So I'd ask him questions all the time. And finally, he wouldn't come out one day. He always came out. He was a chiropractor. I had a business house. So I went to him and I said, he wouldn't come out for 3 or 4 days. I said, "Wait a minute, Doc never does this." So I stopped in steps one day. I said, "Doc, you got to come out because I'm not moving till you come out." I got questions and you got to give me some answers. I've been reading this stuff and I got to understand. So the doctor finally comes out. He said, well, they told me I shouldn't be talking to you and I've told you too much already. I said, too late now. I'm already reading this stuff. I got stuff coming from headquarters, you know. So anyhow, in a short period, I asked to see a minister. And so I saw Mr. Young and Mr. Noel. And to me, excuse me, I didn't look like this. I didn't weigh this much. I was probably about 160 pounds or 70 pounds. And pretty much thought I was pretty good, you know, macho. And here walk in these two skinny guys. And they're sitting this thing, and I say hello to them. I go upstairs, and I made a big mistake. You should never do something that I snickered. Tom looks at me, are you kidding me? These two guys? I really did. I paid for that big time. Because you see, that was pure vanity in every way and form. Anyhow, it took me 3 months for them to let me come to church. They said, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this and that. I said, come on, I never heard of it. They said, you can't come to your church. He said, you're not ready yet. That was it. So finally, you know when they invited me? You know, God sees everything. What day you think they invited me to come to church? Come on. Day of Atonement. That was my first day at church. Think God knew I had a little vanity and need to be taught a lesson? Well, He did. But anyhow, that's how I came to get into church. How did you come into church? What things did God do to you? I had 3 car wrecks and should have been killed in 2 of them maybe. But I made it to that point. God was merciful. He was kind. He was forgiving or I'd never be here today. And then I looked at blessings He's given me since I've been in. When we get down, we need to realize God is always there. All He wants you to do is ask for help. He already knows what you need. He knows what each of us need. But I want you to think about it. That's your roots. Keep a hold of your roots. God called you for a reason. And His reason was for you. Whenever He called you, He called you at the time that you were ready to accept. And you may have shaken it off a few times before you answered. But for some reason, it kept bugging you. I've heard people tell me about stuff like that. Bugged them. People who have left come back because it bugged them, even though they left. Later on, they come back to church because they realize, you know. And guess why they didn't come back, a lot of them? They were too embarrassed. Too embarrassed. They didn't realize we was going to love them and say, oh, it's so good to see you. Oh, man. And that's the exact way a family does. When a child does something wrong, you don't punish them. You love them. You take care of them. And that's what God does for you and me. That's why I read this today. He's the one that carries us when we need help. He's the one that supplies the angels to protect us when we need it. He's the one that loves you and me so deeply that His Son gave His life so we could have that opportunity. Are we going to finish the race? Let's hear what Timothy has to say in 2 Timothy 4:7. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. This is Timothy talking. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on the day, and not to me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. Are we going to finish the race? It's a question you and I have to figure out. It's a question that you and I have to make sure that we're close to God, that we're studying, that we're praying, and that we keep God as number one. God doesn't accept number two or number three. He is number one. His son did what his father asked him to do. And his father asked him to die a horrible death for you and me. That you and I can have an opportunity to be at the Feast of Trumpets when his son returns and starts putting this world in line. Be a part of that wonderful army. As Christ looked on, I think of Stephen a lot of times. You know, Stephen was a deacon. And Stephen got killed for explaining to the people, and they stoned him, right? And what did he say? Please forgive them. They know not what they do. Who else said that? It may not have been the exact words, but it's what he's telling God to forgive them for what they did. Jesus Christ did the same thing. So to me, Stephen must have been ready to be a part of God's family. And that's why he was allowed to die. He was that pure-minded. He loved God with all his heart and all his might. He loved Jesus Christ. And he was going to do anything it took to be in God's kingdom. Are you and I? Things are not going to be good here in a few years. You know, love for God in this country has gone to pot. I mean, God made two sexes, male and female. Nothing else. Anything else is abomination to God. And in the old times, they wouldn't even been living. Same with the gay and lesbians or whatever. They caught them, they died. Because God thought it was better for them to be that, and they could reevaluate them later on when they have their opportunity in God's world, that they could be changed, get their minds straightened up. They've been listening to false stuff, just as they are today. The world is changing. I thought about this and I said, what if my dad come up today to see what was going on? He would absolutely say, you didn't do anything about this? Our country didn't do anything about this? Because he wasn't a man who went to church or anything. Well, he went to church, which is a bar. He used to kid about that. That was his church, was the bar, because that's what he worked in. He was a bar manager, and then he became an owner of one. But anyhow, I will tell you a story about my dad. My dad, when I met my wife, well, my future wife, Pat, he came up to visit me. And I took him over to meet Pat and her family. And now, my dad was a barman. Now, anyone older who's been about, he had a mouth that wasn't exactly what you'd say you want to say a lullaby to sometimes, okay? But anyhow, he'd be saying something to Pat's parents. He'd go, I don't. They'd stop. And I'm over here, sorry, sort of, because I know what he's trying to do. So he stops and he re-says his sentence because he didn't cuss that time. He was going to cuss. But you know, when I look back, you know, I said, you know, my dad really loved me. Because he did not want her parents to think bad of me. because of him. Because I asked him about it later. I said, Dad, you kept having all these stops on there. He said, well, you know. And that's when he told me. He didn't want them to feel bad about me because of him. Now, you feel the same way about your child. So it shows everybody has feeling for their children, or most, not all. Because there are some terrible people out there. But now, you don't think that God wants to be able to be presented, to have you presented to him by Jesus Christ in the future? You bet he does. He loves you with everything he's got. And he has given his son so that you and I can be here. And in his kingdom later on for eternity. Claiming that mansion that Christ said he went to make for those who have been in his holy city. Count your blessings. Count your blessings that God picked you to have this opportunity to be in his kingdom with him forever. Don't ever give up. Do not look away. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and remember where it's taking you. You will be happier here and you will have happiness for eternity in his divine kingdom as a part of his family. Turn with me to James 2:19, if you would. I always thought this was an interesting verse. I can get there. Well, let's go back to verse 17 for a minute. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have good works, is dead. We have to have good works. But if we're loving, we will have good works. If we're serving and doing, we will have good works. But in verse 19, you believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. They know who's in charge. They've done sealed their fate. Done sealed their fate. But they know who's in charge. If you remember the time in, I think it was in Matthew, I'm not sure, where they put the demons into the swine, they ran over the cliff. You know, that's what we do if we leave God now. We could possibly go over the cliff. We need to stay steadfast. We need to finish the race that Timothy talked about. We need to thank God every day. And try counting those tons of blessing that we take for granted. And sometimes, forget who's in charge. God is in charge. We are his family. He loves each and every one of us. And he wants you and I to be with Jesus Christ on the Feast of Trumpets. We're 10 weeks away from celebrating that time when Christ returns. And aren't we looking forward to that? Because when Christ returns, this evil world is going to be really, really upset. Because Satan and his demons know that his time is short. We want to be in God's family. We need to make sure that you and I thank our God every day You know, I think about this young couple up here in front. He'll take a bow if I lie. But you know, I love their attitude. Because they celebrate 1 year anniversary every month. It's their 1 year anniversary. So every month they go out for the anniversary. Because you see, they know they're not young anymore. And they want to enjoy the time they have together. But I always thought that was a wonderful thing to do. Because maybe we should think about that more often too. Husbands and wives. Show how much that wife and that husband means to me. Because you see, a lot of people would like to have a husband or wife. Ask the widows. Ask the widowers. Count your blessings. Count them ton by ton. And then take them apart one by one. And let God know that you understand His blessings. And you are so thankful that He has called you and I at this time to be a part of His life. Eternal life forever. So let's be sure that we finish the race. Let's be sure we get the mansion that Christ has prepared for those who do God's will and obey God. It's for you and me and all those who love and serve God. And as a family here in Dayton, may we continue to show such love and care and concern for each other. Because we are family. And we become more family every day. Because you see, the world is getting worse and we need the family more. We need each other. That's why God has us come together on the Sabbath day. Yes, we're worshiping God. By far, and we should be. He's the great creator. He's our Father. But we also need to be with each other. Families. We reunite as a reunion every week to be together, to show love towards one another, to help one another if we can. And guess what? Family will call upon family if they're hurting. And that's what we should be doing. Now, when I came into church, Mr. Bornhurst's mom and dad took me under their wing. And it was a big blessing because they helped me. I was a single guy. And they just took me under wing and helped me grow up and understand more. And I've told you before, Vina told one time, says, I didn't think you'd make it, Dave. I know she's glad I was still there, but she did say that. She is about 4 or 5, I don't know how many years later, but anyhow, it's quite a while later, but she did say, I didn't think you was going to make it. Well, I told you why she didn't think that now, see, because I probably told her, maybe not. Maybe she just saw it real bad. But it's like, you know, when I smirked when I went upstairs about the two ministers, you know, I was pretty stupid, you know, and I paid the penalty for it in some ways. But you know, God forgive me. I ask forgiveness. And I'm still here. And I'm so thankful. There's no better place I'd rather be than here. Because I know this place is where God's family's at. And I know this family is working to be in God's family for eternity together with everyone else. We will not forget a name. I'm getting older and I can forget names. I can see your face now and I say, yeah, I should know who that is. But I don't. Have to wait for the 360 to come around and most time I get it. But as you get older, the brain doesn't work the same. At least mine's not. But you know, we are blessed to have. We got 4 ministers in Dayton. What a blessing. We have our pastor Ron. Then we have another pastor who's retired. What a blessing to the area for Ron and for each of us. You know. God is providing what we need. Don't forget to thank Him. Don't forget to thank Him. And every once in a while, maybe once a week, try to count down a few blessings that you may remember and thank Him. He would truly be thankful that you thought about it. Because a lot of us just forget. That's why I'm saying, think about how you come in, how you got to where you're at, and that you're still here. For if you've been here very long, you've seen a lot of people we knew and loved have left. But if they would come back, we would accept them just like a brother or sister and hug them and say, good to see you. Glad you're back. And that's what families do. Don't hold grudges. They forgive. We didn't have to forgive them. God's the one who has to forgive them for what they've done. And when they forgive them and ask forgiveness and do it, and they come back, everything's white. You got a white sheet. It's over. When you go, God don't say, oh, Dave did this, or such did this, you know. And He said, so let's just think about how blessed we are. Let's keep God's kingdom in front of us. Let's seek God's kingdom. Let's seek to be the lights that He has called you and I to be, to each other and to the world. We need to make sure when we're out, we also do the same thing. When we are out, are we setting the right example? Are people glad they met us? Or they wish, whoa, who was that? Wow. You know. We're not to be just a Christian here today. We're to be God's child every day and set an example that God has set for you and me.